Hello. Welcome, everyone. I'm happy to be here today. And we have some young observers. They want to see how this works. So let's all be on our best behavior tonight. Just a good impression of what we do. So I'd like everyone to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, do I have a Boy Scout who would like to lead the... Okay, would you do that for us, please? And here's our flag over here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Would you give your name to our secretary?
Hamlin.
Okay, thank you. Okay, did everyone bring their copy of the minutes? And have you had a chance to go through them?
Yeah.
I have one extra copy if somebody doesn't have it. Could we have a quiet, please? We are going to start our meeting, so we want to bring through our minutes. And do you have a question for us?
Yeah. Wherever it says CEQUA, it should be CEQUA, CEQA. And that's in throughout here.
CEQA and take out the U.
Take out the U.
Okay. Is there any others?
Yes.
Could I make a comment on that? That's the accepted abbreviation that they use, the CEQUA. You see that in all documents. That's why I'm doing
it. Oh, all the ones I've seen have been CEQA.
Okay, so you want to change CEQUA
to CEQA.
Okay.
And then this is on page 3, the third paragraph, and it's like, it's about a fourth of the way down. It says, he further, and I think you meant stated, he further this would cost property owners. Did you find it? Page 3?
Oh, yeah, just add the word stated on SD3. Okay.
What paragraph?
SD3.
Third or fifth line.
Okay. Just line 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Then on page 4, I think it should have said the very top of page 4, approving roads without sidewalks, 1 mile or less from schools requires sidewalks.
She moved, we sent a letter on... On question, okay.
Yeah, it's not that don't need sidewalks, it's what is needed for sidewalks.
Is this SD4?
This is
SD4, yeah, it's SD4.
I'm not clear because I just wrote what you said. What are you saying your motion was?
Approving sidewalks for private roads.
Is that not what you wanted?
I'm saying that we do need sidewalks for private roads.
Right.
1 mile or less from schools is required by the ordinance.
But what was your motion?
We're just correcting.
Okay. Approve. I went from exactly what the tape said. I can't write everything.
Okay. I just wanted to mention that. Then the second paragraph. It says Mike Thielen asked what would ask to the projects in the meantime, and I'm not quite sure what that meant.
Where are you?
If from the bottom, it would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 sentences.
Oh, and SD5, okay.
Or lines up.
Okay, why don't we just delete that sentence?
Okay.
I'm not sure. So we just delete that sentence.
Right, and then on SD.6 on that same, that's the last paragraph of that,
mm-hmm.
I think the next meeting is not at the Elsa Brandy Library, but rather the De Anza Library. Is that correct?
Right.
De Anza Library.
For the West County School District. Oh, okay. Meetings are there at De Anza.
All right. At the De Anza Library?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, the school library. Cool.
Okay.
And that was all the questions I had.
Do we have any other corrections?
Yes.
Street sweeping on St. Pablo Dam Road.
Okay, I have several questions too. Page 2, okay. Next paragraph, and down about center, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Is that public comment?
8, 9, 10, about the 10th sentence. It says Illinois asked that we recognize Bob Sullivan. I was the one that asked that we recognize
Bob
Sullivan.
Oh, okay, sorry about that.
Recognize him as the first chairman of the MAC.
As first chairman of the MAC.
Right. And then I think, let's see, on page 3, third paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that he sort of stated that this would cost property owners approximately $55 per $100,000 of property assessment. With no senior exemption. That's just one word there. Then on page 4,
what's the correction?
I believe, I'm having a hard time reading my own writing, but he further...
Stated. We already addressed that.
Yeah, we put the stated in there.
We already addressed that one.
Okay. On page 4, when we're talking about the public streets versus private roads, I was asked to telephone, and that's what I did. I talked to someone from Public Works, so I didn't get a letter. I talked to them.
Where are you?
I'm on the first paragraph.
The last sentence.
Is this SD5?
4.
SD4.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy Rottweiler said she would bring the letter to the next AES MAC meeting. Is that what you're correcting?
Right.
What did you say?
I had written down that I would not bring a letter, but then I would just call.
She would call Public Works.
Right.
Okay.
Report. So I did put that in my agenda.
Okay.
To that. And then, let's see. I think that was all. Does anybody else have any questions or corrections?
I move we accept them.
Okay. I second it. Ready for the discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Okay. Move on. So could we have the treasurer's report?
Yes, the treasury is $411.95. I have here a check from Erica Crane as a contribution to the MAC, and it says, please earmark it for outreach only. Is this something I'm authorized to do?
There's a Board of Supervisor resolution. You can't accept funds until they pass it. We can just give it to Terrence and have him pass it.
Well, I wonder if we can go to, if we can have the chamber hold it for us, if we want to accept at this point.
Am I doing this?
Well, look at someone's trying to give us money and we're trying to say, no, we can't take it.
Is it authorized for a certain thing? Can we take it?
Yeah, there are these rules about the money technically go through the county, so maybe what we should do is that technically it goes through us. We're clarifying what those rules are to make it easy for you. So, you know, I know in the past you've accepted money. And I think what we're just trying to do, it technically has to go through the auditor's office. So what I would do is accept it and then provide, as part of the new accounting, is make sure you get us all that information. And we're trying to make the issue uniform among all the MACs countywide.
All right, thank you. So we can take it, and can we take it for one specific it's for outreach only.
Yeah.
We can't use it for anything except outreach.
Right.
What is the amount?
The Community Foundation can also take money and then provide a donation to the MAC for outreach.
We
can
do it that way.
Is there a possibility?
Yeah, that's our problem.
Yeah. Okay. So
we'll get off the rules.
We can donate services.
Right.
Yeah, what am I supposed to do with this check?
Can you tell us how much there is so I can keep minutes of this? Okay, just
we are reprinting it. We're giving it to the Elk County Foundation, and they will submit it to us.
Okay. So
where
do I
go?
Okay. And Phyllis also was a receipt for the MAC banner of $108.75. I paid for it with a personal check. Please reimburse me. So if at all, if I can
read you. I can't hear what you're saying. 178.
Actually, we voted on
we
money.
Voted
for,
yes. We voted on
so you can write a check for it. Yes.
To whom is the check?
The check is
probably Erica.
For it. No, the check because of the specific amount.
It's not because she wrote a personal check.
We cleared
$108.78
to Erica for Scott.
It's not Erica. It's
$108.75.
Yeah, but it
was Erica.
Oh, it was Erica?
Not Erica.
Yeah. Oh, where's Erica?
Yeah. To Erica for what?
$108.75.
For what?
Yes.
For the banner.
For banner.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Anything further? Okay. All right. We have with us tonight Supervisor Joy, and we have I think it's
Sergeant Cole.
And I believe we have someone here to speak of Measure J, Mike Mahoney. And no, okay, well, I've been. Okay, we thank welcome to all of you. Now we have public comment. So, is there a public comment? This gentleman had a comment for you.
Paul Fries, representing the West County Property Owners Alliance. So, as you recall, I was here at the last meeting. And specifically here to discuss Measure J with you.
Could you discuss that in a few minutes?
Well, I just had a quick question in regards to this.
Sure.
As you have on your agenda, you have a presentation. And as you recall, last meeting, I specifically asked you to provide that our alliance be provided with people time, and you said that you would be looking into that. So I'm just here to request that whatever time you're providing, Mr. Medrano, that you also provide our alliance.
Okay, what I plan on doing is having them give their presentation, and then you can make your comments, and you know, and we will all ask questions and
that's the only fair thing to do. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. I'm sorry. Could we? All right. Well, I guess I do need to go ahead and put a gap.
Okay. One. I know the MAC has been struggling over the last couple of months trying to decide which direction you guys are going to take. And I said, well, okay, this time I'll tell you what I think you ought to do. Number one, I really think the community owes you a big thank you for the cleanup. And then I would like the individual members on the MAC to get information on problems. For example, number one, the lights that are out. Coming down here at Afton Way, there were 19 street lights out. And somebody on the MAC should take charge of that, call it, and get it fixed. You should, all of you should drive around and look and see who's cluttering up their front yard with cars and crapple and things like that. There's a place on Renfrew Road. Joe's Stables in the front of the house now has things all cluttered up in front. And then I'd also like somebody on the MAC to take on the job of contacting Supervisor Joyda's office and reminding him that we're supposed to have a meeting soon, very soon, on the Elk County General Plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have, and he had his hand up first, Marilyn.
Could you do me a favor for the benefit of Dan and I both? Could you maybe give a quick summary of what the MAC does?
so that they understand what they're watching here. Is there any chance you can do that for me?
Okay, I'll try and do that, and I probably will need some help from my counsel here. Can I answer him first? Or?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I was just putting my hand
Okay. What the MAC is, we are an elected body. The residents of El Sobrante elect us to represent them. We try to look at different things in the community, get input from the residents on problems that are in the community, and we try to work on those to correct them and make El Sobrante a better place to live. We are a liaison to Supervisor Joya so that people can, if they want to come in and talk to us and need information to go to Supervisor Joya, then we can do that. Now, does somebody want to add to that? Anybody want to add anything to it? Okay, does that give you an idea of what we do? Okay.
Would it be good to say that you're like the first level of contact from the...
I was going to talk a little bit about that.
Okay, good.
I get out too.
Well, I tried to explain it to them, but I wasn't real clear.
Yeah.
No, I
understand.
Okay, well then you can do it. Okay, Marilyn, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about the issue of Canyon Oaks 2. The timeline is on April 13th. I made a motion that we send a letter regarding the neighborhood's concerns in Sherwood Forest, asking for Measure C or other money to reroute the bus on San Pablo Dam Road. That was moved, seconded, and approved. Okay, it never happened. And when I asked you about it, you said that it was a moot point, and this was in an email. Okay. This was because a number of people in the March meeting from Sherwood Forest came, and they were very concerned about the buses running and empty and running very fast. And so they would like to see about getting the AC transit line back over on San Pablo Dam Road. Well, nothing happened on that, and what I found out was that you gave me an email saying that it was a moot point because the Canyon Oaks 2 project, which is John Zentner, had agreed to put in a bus turnout, which will allow AC Transit to change the bus route as requested by the residents of Linda Road. Linda Road residents were informed of the change and attended the last planning and zoning meeting. The Canyon Oaks project is moving forward. Okay. So I thought that was the end of it. I felt like you should have brought that in and told us that's why you didn't send the letter. So since I hadn't heard anything about it for a long time, I just sent an email the other day to Mr. Zentner asking him what's going on with the much-hoped-for AC Transit bus stop and if the project has been approved. And he told me that Mr. Del Rosario from AC Transit had put in a grant for this AC Transit bus stop, but his project has still not been okay, and so I feel like since it's up in the air like that, we should have been continuing to look at this because of the number of people that came here concerned about that, because that's what we are, the first line for El Sobrante residents. So I'm concerned about the way it was handled. Let's put it down.
Mr. Zentner came and made a presentation to it, explaining his project. At that point, we did not. He would like to have had a letter approving his project. I don't believe we voted on a letter for his project. What happened last, if you remember, last month, we had a copy of the application that Mr. Del Sar Rosario from AC Transit sent in. It went in, had a copy for anybody to read. Nobody wanted to read it, but it was here. We're still waiting to see what whether he gets the grant or not to do the other side. Mm-hmm. Mr. Zantner is going to do the turnout on his side, and we just have to wait and see if AC Transit gets the grant to do the other side. Although, in talking with Mr. Zantner, he did say that, I believe he said something to the effect that probably AC Transit would go ahead and go through with that, whether they did or did not get the grant. But as this is all up in the air now, and I have asked Mr. Zentner to come to our next meeting so that we can get reacquainted with him, and then we can send a letter to whoever he wants. I believe it will go to the Richmond Planning Department, saying that we do feel that his project there, the 36 homes on San Pablo Dam Road, is an acceptable project.
Has the P&Z sent any letters about that already?
Public comment?
No, I'm asking her questions because I can't ask her questions. Had the P&Z taken any action on it?
I think the 3 minutes are up now anyhow, so let's move on and we can talk about this later. Yes, you have a public comment?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Michael Ollie, and I was here to announce to Valley residents something of interest to them. We are going to be forming the Richmond Urban. We will be forming the Richmond Urban Indian Council of West Contra Costa County. We will be an advocacy group for issues of urban Native Americans, whether full blood or descent. And one of the things that we will be advocating here in the Valley is protection of both cultural and sacred sites that run along the major creek beds. And so we hope to work with the MAC and Friends of Garrity Creek and other parties to help prop that up. So we just want to let you know we'll be incorporating at the end of November. And in June, we're going to be opening up our own Native American school for our children. So thank you very much.
Would you like to get in touch with me and
yes,
maybe have you make a presentation to
yes,
us?
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, I can give you my phone number after reaching your call.
All right, thanks.
Now, let's see, this lady had her hand up.
My name, I don't know if you need this for the record, Susan Swift. A couple things. One is that this turnout is amazing. I don't know if there's one issue, not just our Cub Scouts, who it's really nice to see them here, but for me, I often come 2 minutes or 3 minutes or 5 or 10 minutes late, and there are never any agendas. So I just want to encourage. Oh, there are a couple. Anybody got one? There's one more. I think there's been some discussions about getting a website up, and maybe some of that outreach money can go, because that would be a place where people like myself who are planning to come to download an agenda in advance. So that was one comment. And the other is, because I didn't have this, I didn't know where we were, where we were going. And I know that I have comments on some issues that have been before the MAC. Do we get to speak when you're discussing those items, or is
yes,
it the only time?
No,
thank
you.
Okay, thank you.
One thing, I think Supervisor Joya's office is getting a website up. I think Karen's getting a website.
You would have to do your own website, and we could link it on our account to the county, so that you would have to actually do your own website, and then we could link it to
I have a prototype here today.
Right.
I'd like to show at least the council members. I don't know if I can show everyone.
Okay. All right, Bob, and that's the last one. We have to move on to our guests. We have someone that needs to leave.
Spain Lead is doing an EIR for their dam earthquake proofing, and in the process they're going to actually get rid of a wetland with the toe of the dam, which means that that's an opportunity maybe to receive some mitigation. And over in Garrity Creek, it seems like the hardest part about trying to do something about Garrity Creek is who's going to take delivery of that creek and who's going to maintain the creek and all sorts of things that are bantering around about what to do about that and a walkway along the creek. So maybe this might be an opportunity to get East Bay Mud in their mitigation to purchase that area around that creek and possibly get East Bay Mud to maintain it for us.
Yeah. Can you stay and we will have a report from East Bay Mud and then you can maybe talk to him. Michelle Blackwell is here from East Bay Mud and maybe you can talk to her. Okay. Sergeant, can we have Supervisor go before you?
Yes,
he has other meetings that he has to attend to.
And I'll also make a few comments about how all this works with the Cub Scouts. It's great to see that I'm John Joy. I'm this area's representative on the Board of Supervisors. And let me just say a few words, and I appreciate you allowing me. I'm also on the Board of the Richmond Public Library Foundation Board. We're in a meeting right now, so I'm going to head over there after this. The El Segredo Municipal Advisory Council is part of a series of municipal advisory councils around the county, and they're advisory to the Board of Supervisors. I'm also elected here in West County, and I represent Richmond, El Cerrito, Kensington, San Pablo, El Sobrante, Montalvin Manor, North Richmond, and we're like the equivalent of a city council for the county. and some unincorporated communities, not all, have municipal advisory councils, of which some are appointed by the Board of Supervisors and some are elected. This board is elected, but they're still advising the board. It gets into one of the issues I mentioned to you today. Technically, and our person has mentioned this, our county council said that municipal advisory councils can't take positions on ballot measures unless they are issues that are directly related to, let's say, like the urban, to the county. Like, for example, the urban limit line was a ballot measure that deals with county planning issues, so something like that. But a measure like a state proposition or the school bond measure, technically, none of the municipal advisory councils make decisions. You can individually take a position, and I happen to support Measure J. I think it's a very good measure, and I know there's different points of view, so I'll get that in there. And I know that there's an informational presentation to the MAC, but they technically can't take a position on that. And in fact, a lot of the issues that are raised, I think the MAC can serve the role of really trying to marshal and put together opinions of people in El Sobrante, and also, you know, they could work with some county departments or get those concerns to our office. For example, a lot of the issues that Eleanor raised about the lights being out, to let us know about that, so when we meet with our public works department, we can get those kinds of things acted upon and worked on. So that's basically, I know the MAC, as you can see with their agenda, deals with a lot of issues. So they are like the first line for people to express their opinion, but they also can express it to us at the Board of Supervisors. Just to give you a little background on that. And actually, I'm going to go through a few things briefly, but one of the things I brought along, and Terrence, I think, mentioned this to you, this is a resolution of the board from 2002 that goes into sort of policies governing appointments to boards, committees, and commissions, and I think we said we were going to bring it, which if you think about the kinds of things you want to do, if you have any questions on that after, let me know. Okay, so we can help on that. The thing that I was just going to quickly touch on, we're going to be putting together, probably in February, we're having a planning meeting for it now, a disaster preparedness town hall meeting in West County, probably in January or February. We just heard at the board, we got a presentation from the county's Emergency Operations Center, and the Sheriff's Department runs that, technically, and about where we are in our planning if there were a major event in the county. And then there was also a roundtable that myself and Supervisor DeSaulnier were at that Congressman Miller and Tauscher put together with pretty much all the different emergency operations folks from around the county. One of the things, sort of, so you know, how does this relate to El Sobrante? Technically, the way, if there were, for example, whether it's a dam failure or a major earthquake on the Hayward Fault, for example, each jurisdiction has their own emergency operations center. Each city and the county has it. What happens is, if the event is just in one city, that city opens their emergency operations center, and then they are in control of what happens. Once two EOCs open, then the county opens its center. And then technically, the county administrator becomes sort of the emergency operations director for that emergency because it becomes regional. Obviously, if there were an event in El Sobrante, our county emergency operations center would open. And there's a plan. My question always is, you know, how implementable are those plans? We've asked some questions about that. In terms of ensuring, like radio communications, big issue. We've got radio communications which firefighters can't talk to a hazmat person necessarily, to a police officer, because different cities are on different frequencies. And we've been trying to get all the cities in the county and the county to work together with the Park District and East Bay MUD so that radio communications can all be part of one system. But we're going to talk more about how individuals can be prepared. We're going to invite the public, so it'll be open to anyone in District 1. We'll probably do it somewhere in a large venue, maybe in Richmond. We will have a panel of experts. We're going to talk about emergency preparedness. And, you know, we'll try to give information about each of the areas in West County, including El Sobrante. And so make sure that you know about that. It'll be January or February. And we'll have folks from the ambulance company, for example, AMR, there as well. Another item, you may be aware, we recently suspended the license of Rancho Liquors. You know, the county has a tobacco retailer ordinance. This was the second time that they were caught selling tobacco to underage, to minors. And the health department made the ruling. That ruling was appealed up to the Board of Supervisors, and we upheld the health department, and we suspended their license for a period of time. Again, that was the second violation. I know you've dealt with the issue of dangerous dogs somewhat. It's come up. I've been working with the district attorney and another supervisor from Concord, Mark DeSaulnier, and we're going to be introducing an ordinance to the Board of Supervisors, probably in 2 weeks, that will apply countywide, that will make it illegal for with some ability for due process, but make it illegal generally for ex-felons to own dogs that are more, unless they get special dispensation, dogs more than 20 pounds. And the reason is because we've gotten lots of issues. Lots of issues have come up about pit bulls owned by parolees who are who committed drug crimes. The dogs sort of are used to intimidate. They're used as part of criminal activity or gang activity. You cannot in California differentiate by breed. However, there's a new law that the governor signed that was supported by, I think it was Senator Jackie Speier, that basically said you can't have different rules by breed for spaying and neutering. That's a specific carve-out of the law. But on issues like other issues, you cannot distinguish by breed, which makes it harder because obviously, you know, a pit bull is very different than a poodle. And so under this, in working with the DA actually drafted this legislation, what it will do essentially is if the dog is more than 20 pounds, it'll prevent unless they apply and, you know, improve. So there is a process. There's some due process built in. Also, you know, folks have raised issues about crime. And, you know, Richmond, El Sobrante, and in working with the district attorney and state parole, we're looking at also putting into place some system that establishes a curfew for certain types, not all, of parolees who've committed crimes at night. So if there's a nexus or relationship between the crime they committed and nighttime activity, then maybe there would be a curfew. And that would either be done through the county's probation department or through state parole. And so that's something that's in the process. A lot of folks have, I thought, made very good comments about the whole issue of traffic issues related to, you know, downtown, the plan, and so forth. So the reason that there hasn't been a presentation back is that the Community Development Department, the Planning Department, is doing a lot more traffic analysis of what traffic would be like with or without various parts of the plan, and not only what traffic will be like in terms of number of cars, but trying to model what that would mean in terms of how long it takes to get through an intersection. So if you want to go on San Pablo Dam Road between Appian Way and El Portal, you know, would it take you 5 minutes? Would it take you 10 minutes? And they're trying to model that. That takes time. And so my understanding is that they're going to come and do a workshop before the MAC, and then we're going to have a larger town hall meeting. But first do a public workshop here based on time that works for you, whether it's in November. But to make the information meaningful, because when I first saw it, and I see Rick Dulwich here, Rick, you raised some very good issues about what other analysis should be done, like on Hilltop Drive and so forth, and several of you have given some very good comments, and Eleanor has, you know, in terms of the issues of how do you look at traffic. So to me, it's more meaningful to get some real information about how long it takes you to get through an intersection. So they're doing that, and they've looked at the Hilltop Drive. And so rather than come with incomplete or no information, the idea is to come when they have it all totally prepared so you can have an informative and meaningful discussion about it. You may know that we approved a study which allows us to raise the park fees for new development. And I think we're expecting that ordinance to come before the board to put that into effect very soon. so that any new development raises more money for parks. That's pretty much what I just wanted to cover. And then briefly, you know, monthly I've been having these rotating breakfasts by neighborhood. We had one in El Sobrante. We're doing one next Friday. It's sort of close to El Sobrante. It's over at the Los Ensombles Mexican Arts Center, which is on San Pablo Avenue, right near Smart and Final, in Diaz Plaza, right on San Pablo Avenue. And that's next Friday, not this Friday, from 7:30 to 9, just open. Whoever wants to come, we buy coffee, and there's whatever issues people want to talk about. So, quickly, those were the quick things I just wanted to mention.
Yeah.
Quick
question?
Yeah.
So the 2002 board order essentially replaces any previous bylaws?
No. Well, you've adopted bylaws, right? And I think your bylaws were reviewed by county council to make sure they were consistent, because you're subject to the same rules we are, the Brown Act, the Better Government Ordinance, you've got to follow those. So these are just, to the extent these aren't inconsistent with bylaws, with the bylaws. So I think your bylaws govern for example, the issue that came up about who you appoint to committees. So technically, if you set up a committee, the committee has to be made up of MAC members, not non-MAC members. That's the issue under the sort of rules that govern MACs, Rick, generally, that any the board orders and accepting that any committee that MAC members set up, like a subcommittee of the MAC, technically has to have just MAC members. That doesn't mean they can't hold public meetings and hear from the public. Obviously, that's what they're supposed to do. But the committee members have to be MAC members.
And there's a board order that says that?
Yeah.
And how old is that?
Been around. County council county council caucus has sort of reviewed things. They're maybe in this one. It was the 2002 overall policy. It may be in this.
I think it's more than 10 years old.
No. This one is 2002. So within years.
So the board order policy.
This is 2002.
Well, the council bylaws were accepted by the board since 1996.
Right. Well, the problem is that all the MACs are subject to the same rules. So they're advisory, they can't technically use county money. They're like a neighborhood council. So the board supervisors a number of years ago made the rules consistent. And one of them, I guess, is this for any advisory body? It goes into it here, and it talks about each advisory body, subject to limitations and so forth, may adopt a set of operating rules addressing quorum requirements, attendance requirements, election of office, and the establishment of subcommittees behind the current members of the advisory body. And that's what's in here.
So basically what happened then is after the acceptance of the council's bylaws is approved by the county council, we now have a different kind of saying the board has passed an ordinance that makes you part of that those bylaws and challenge without consulting this MAC.
I haven't seen
where the MAC was created.
The MAC when it was set up was always advisory.
I didn't say that, but my point is that I wrote the bylaws along with Richard Stone and those other people.
Right.
We spent a lot of time on it, and we submitted it to county council and we were accepted. Now, what has happened in the interim, apparently, is that
you're going through, they're developing new bylaws, is my understanding.
I understand that. But the point is that when the board decides to change the law that affects this community, it has a due diligence responsibility to contact this community through this MAC and let us know that you're considering
it. They didn't follow the MACs around the county back when it was adopted in 2002.
Or whatever it been guys, apparently not.
I don't know.
I understand my point.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's a very serious matter because the earlier thing you said was that the council apparently by board order.
Well, let me tell you the rules subject to us, Rick. We can't appoint committees that have members of the committees of the board of supervisors have to have members of the board. Their rules are the same as our rules. That doesn't mean that they can't have hearings with the public. We can't set up a committee. We can set up an advisory committee. The MAC is advisory. So committees of the Board of Supervisors have to contain Board of Supervisors members. Committees of the MAC have to contain MAC members. That's all the rule is. And you know what? If folks want to change it, then folks should raise the issue. I can tell you that what the Board of Supervisors wants to do more is make all the rules consistent, because whether it's the Bay Point MAC, or the Kensington MAC, or the North Kensington MAC, make them consistent is part of that. And we can't, let me just tell you my personal view, we can't, on our board committee, we can't appoint members of the public to a board committee, because the business of the board is, under the law, is to conduct that. That we can take advisory, we can set up advisory committees like the MAC. So the question is, the MAC schedules public meetings, so I'm just telling you what the problem is.
Okay, well, this is a problem that throughout the entire county, we have wonderful committees in this county, that some of them are over 10 years old, and have done wonderful things in the county, like the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
That's right.
Has members of the public on that committee.
Right, the Fish and Wildlife Committee is appointed by the board and is a group of public
members. I'm just making a statement, sir. And
the point is that
the
Fish and Wildlife Committee is a committee of the board with public members appointed by the board, but they cannot, to be clear, they cannot appoint non-members of the Fish and Wildlife Committee to a subcommittee of the Fish and Wildlife Committee. That's my point.
It's not my point to debate this with you.
I'm just part of the actor.
We need to move on.
I want to make it clear that in the future, I mean, we can't have these things keep coming up along every so often, and then all of a sudden we have to now look at our bylaw.
County Council provided some information. We want to be legal. We want to be appropriate. This is the rule.
Okay. My second issue is that I made a statement earlier that the MAC could not take a position on political matters. All right. Now, you don't need to respond to that.
That's okay. No.
I'm responding to that. So you
okay.
And that is that a little over, about a year ago, you and Sheriff Warren were grand slate for an election that very few put on this council.
Right. Now. Right.
And it seems like a double standard.
Oh, me?
That if you have the First Amendment free speech right to run a political slate in order to get somebody elected to this council, why can't this council then have that same First Amendment responsibility to take a position on other legislation?
You can't. Board supervisors cannot take a position in favor of who's on the map, but individual supervisors can state a political position. Let me finish.
As your constituent, I would like to change
under state law, the board of supervisors can't take positions as a whole on who's on the map. Individual members of the board take political positions all the time. That's my job. Each of the members on this map can take a political position. Can the map as a whole take a position? No. That's the distinction. Anything you do individually is different than what you do with regard to the whole body. And which gets to the basic question that the MAC is, if all the MACs are advisory, and what County Council has said, they can clearly take positions on any issue that addresses a county issue that's going to be before the board to take positions on, but on other political things, no. That's what County Council said. I'd be glad to have the comment explain it. Just follow what they said.
Okay, we have to move on, and we have another question.
Yes. Is there a difference between an ad hoc committee and a committee?
No, basically, and with the Brown Act, because many elected bodies tried to get around the public notice requirements by setting up ad hoc committees, Barbara, the ad hoc committees are treated the same way as a regular committee.
Okay, then our bylaws, which state that we advertise for members on the committees, should be changed according to what you're saying.
You know what we could do? We should actually set up a time when when we get, like, County Council to go into the Brown Act and all those with the MAC. I know we've done those trainings and do it with some of the MACs. So North Richmond went through a process like that, so did Kensington.
Yeah. Could you set up a meeting
for us? Sure.
Would be very helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, we really... All right, this one and that one, and that's the end.
Thank you. I've got a very important question. I hope I can ask it before you answer it. At the last Project Area Committee meeting in May 20th of 2003, why a general plan amendment? This document was given out by the county. Now, I've asked repeatedly your chief of staff Terrence Chong, what is the status of the redevelopment plan? And he refuses to answer, and he says, we are separating that from the general plan and we will not discuss it. When I first met you, I told you I was opposed to it because of the amount of people and the fact that land use would be affected so drastically and because of traffic. And you told me, well, there's not much we can do about it because we're going to change the general plan to implement in county, in this county document here, it says in order to accomplish many of the goals and objectives of the redevelopment plan and in particular the vision, which I'm sure is very similar to what Ms. Payne has put out, described in the downtown El Sobrani plan December 2001, a general plan amendment will be necessary. Can you say categorically that this general plan amendment that you're trying to push is not, that has no relationship with the redevelopment plan?
I think we've talked about this many times. A general plan amendment, a zoning change in a general plan amendment is different than a redevelopment.
I know that, but that's not what I asked you, sir.
Right.
You know, I asked you something totally different than that.
And you're allowing me to finish.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to explain. The general plan amendment, which is currently what the EIR was also circulating.
I got a copy of that, too.
So when the county comes back with the traffic studies, so that there can be more discussion about that, the general plan amendment, and we told you this at the beginning, the redevelopment process that was moving forward stopped. Doesn't mean it may not be picked up in the future.
You know that Ms. Pendergrass here thinks there's no redevelopment plan.
I thought you were going to finish.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, this is how bad it is.
Well,
people say there's no redevelopment plan.
I thought you were going to finish.
Please let one person talk.
So I'd be glad to hear your comments. The issue is, and I've said this, we've said this over and over, the redevelopment plan is a separate issue from the zoning issues. Now, the zoning change issue, when that's looked at, and if those changes occur, that is totally separate and independent from redevelopment. Whether redevelopment happens is a separate issue, which, and I'm not going to deny whether it comes up or not in the future. I think it's a good idea to raise redevelopment. I've said this. I've been honest about it. But it's a separate decision than the whole issue of zoning. The zoning issue has its own ramifications and is an issue that of what's the right land use along Appian Way. What's the right land use along Appian Way? What's the right land use along San Pablo Dam Road? Those decisions are important ones, and there's going to be a lot of public input. There'll be traffic analysis. Once that decision is made, then the separate issue, should redevelopment be established in El Sobrante or part of El Sobrante to help achieve certain economic goals? That will be a good separate discussion, but separate. And I'm telling you this, you said many times, this is not new information, and I think folks know this, that redevelopment is a separate issue.
That's
and not
what not I'm
being
asking.
Pursued.
But you're not asking my question.
Carolyn, I'm sorry, we have to move on.
I'm really sorry that you address it that way, because you are not even addressing what your own document.
No.
Don't take that from me. It's the only one I got.
Believe me, I don't. The Project Area Committee was established to give input with regard to redevelopment. It ended because the redevelopment process ended.
They never made their recommendation.
It ended.
Okay.
I think
all
folks
right.
know what I'm
we
talking
have,
about.
So. Reba has a question.
Yes.
We move
regarding
on.
The sewer that was just installed recently in Buffalo Road,
right.
There is a sewer smell when the wind blows in a certain direction, and people believe that it's a PG&E gas. They had PG&E out time and time again, and it's not the gas, it's still a sewer smell when the wind blows. So I don't know what there is going on there. It's not the only one.
We can check. I'll check.
Where is this located?
On La Paloma. I'm meeting with public work, so we'll
sewer gas where?
And
APM. That's not good.
Okay, did you have anything further, Supervisor Joyce?
No, that's
okay. We'll hear from our sheriff. Thank you very much, Supervisor Joyce.
Okay, thanks for allowing me to get a meeting. I appreciate that.
Okay, well, thank you.
Everything, nothing exciting going on in town. It's pretty much status quo. Last month or this month. We're noticing a little juvenile problem up on Appian Way by the Starbucks USA Gas. We're there hanging out, basically. We're working on moving them and contacting the managers and stuff like that. And everything is, we have no place else to hang out. And managers, I guess, are people that own places that don't want to hang out the back and want to hang it out the front. So,
oh my gosh.
Interesting. So, we're just working on that. We've got a special operation that's going to happen in the near future in the West County area.
A special operation.
I'm just going to leave it at that. So.
Whatever you're doing wrong, don't.
What?
Whatever you're doing wrong, quit.
Yeah. No, it's just a special operation. I said I can't go into details, but it's going to be in the near future, looking at warrants and stuff like that.
Yes, go ahead, please. You said that everything status quo is going along pretty much the same. Do you have a crime breakdown?
They didn't have it for me today. Okay. I got this to come to the meeting late today, and the person that does the stats, I'll get him. We'll get it to you. Oh. He wasn't in today, so.
Marilyn, go ahead.
How about a sheriff's deputy? Is there any word on when we might get a permanent sheriff's deputy here in West Virginia?
A resident deputy?
Resident deputy.
You should ask that person that just left.
Yeah, I would love to. I've already.
And our staffing, I'll tell you now, is very short. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're working, each deputy is working, the whole patrol investigation division has a mandatory, it's for November 32 hours overtime. That's a fair share, we call it, and they don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. They don't sign up, they are assigned shifts. Mm-hmm. So right now our staffing is very critical, same way in jail. Jail has the same problem. They have 22 vacancies just in West County Jail. So, again, specialty positions, yeah, we'll get them once we are told to fill them, but it just takes away from other areas. So.
Yeah. Nurse Richmond has their resident deputy back, I understand, from a grant, and I'm not sure who applied for the grant. Did the sheriff's office?
No, it would have been the supervisors or the MAC committee there. I don't know who.
So we could apply for one.
But I don't think we could apply for a grant for the law enforcement grants through the state itself.
Okay, thank you, Barbara.
Yes, I had a question. Have you had any reports of gunshots on around Hilltop and Pebble? Because we're hearing them there.
Oh, yeah? No. What time of day or night?
They're usually at night.
How late?
Maybe 8 o'clock.
Yeah, what I'll do is that's my time, my shift. I'll tell my beat deputy to persist. But we get no calls on it.
Well, you know, we called in one time and they didn't find anything, you know, and so by the time you call in, there's big stop.
Oh, yeah, well, that's all. They don't sit there, okay, you know, ammunition's expensive.
Okay, Reba.
Okay, I want to thank the Sheriff's Department for their outstanding service, lengthening the ordinance work, the big rig parking there on Aiken. They come out the other day and helped us with the sign.
Good.
And there was a big rig parked again this morning, I saw on Aiken.
Now, the parking cadet that's very efficient.
Huh?
We got a parking cadet that's very efficient. He finds out about the problem, he's on it. And he only works now like 3 days a week.
Okay, what about this homeless bus that's parked on Bamboo? That homeless bus keeps moving around.
Well, we mark it. By law, we have to mark it for 72 hours. And if they don't move it within, then we can tow it. So if he's going
to be moving it.
Yes, and there's not much we can do if they keep moving it. It's still what they'll do is they'll mark it and they'll forget to move it or break down and then we'll be able to tow it. But we have to wait by law 72 hours to tow a vehicle like that.
Hey, Jim?
I was going to ask about that if I could just live in my motorhome, which streets I can park on. is the alternative to the 72 hour deal the fact that they're sleeping in it? I mean, I don't think it's allowable to sleep in a vehicle, is it?
Well, those are motorhomes. They have different.
Even by street, okay.
Yeah, and I mean, if he's moving it, did he just stop there for the night to sleep? Then moves it 2 blocks and then stops it at night to sleep?
Is it possible to say, well, if an officer knocks on it every night and harasses him every night?
We're not in that direction. We had one down, you talk about the one down off
the big huge bus, the big huge bus.
Oh, no, this is the other one.
Yeah, with the other one was a bike.
Yeah,
I use this 5-way something.
Yeah, it had a bike on the back of it. Yeah. We took care of it. They moved that thing.
Yeah, no, that's
on my street. They moved that at the bus stop because I call AC Transit because we contract with them. I got those guys down here too when we were out there.
Any other questions of our sheriffs?
Yes. Any further progress on the
under
the bridge?
Pass that along to the deputy. They check it. I'll try to move them if they can. They're not supposed to be down there. And so I said, the last email I saw, they were had like a stove set up or something. I think it was from someone sent us the email and we passed on
to the stove.
Okay, any other questions of our sheriff? Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank appreciate you. Your report. Okay, now we'll have a presentation on Measure J, Antonio Medrano, and Mike Mahoney.
Also, Charles Ramsey is outside defending Supervisor Joyce here.
Who is out there?
Charles Ramsey, member of the board.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I'm Antonio Medrano. I also serve on a MAC right over the hill, the Montalvo Manor Redevelopment Advisory Committee. So some of the same questions you have, we have too. We've had people living in our parks, and we keep on calling in and just keep on calling in and calling in and calling in. We have one person who sleeps in a park, and it rotates. And can't possibly keep up. I'm a 20-year resident of the county. I live in, as I said, Montalvo Manor. A retired educator, 40 years in the classroom. It's a long time to tell you that. When I retired, a friend of mine who were teaching at Richmond High asked me to come and do some substitute teaching. And at first I said no, then I said yes, but only for 2 days, and I stayed for a year and a half. Every single day. I'm very committed to our community. I am still part of the Wheaton seat. Somebody raised a question about funds for patrol. I'm on the Wheaton seat of Richmond as a community member. Weed and seed. Weed is to weed out crime and violence and seed it with positive programs. And we're looking for federal funding from the Department of Justice. You might consider looking into that. But of course, the area that we're working for is the Iron Triangle. And you know the staff on the Iron Triangle in Richmond, they're just out of this world. Having lived this long in the county and also co-chair of the Consejo Latino based over in Richmond, and chair of the Holland Manor Redevelopment Advisory Committee, I also do tutoring on the site. I tutor students at the Pinole Valley Library for the Advanced Placement History exam and the Advanced Placement Spanish exam. There's a need in our county to upgrade our schools. Some of the 17 schools have already been done. We're fortunate. Montalvo Manor Elementary School in my neighborhood has been done. It's beautiful. The kids love it. We're getting so many students coming to our school from out of our little area that we're running out of room. My next door neighbor, who just rented a house next to me, took his kids to the school, and the school had to tell them, there's no more room. You have to go to Collins or one of the other schools in the area. I think that we as community folks need equal representation as far as the facilities of our school district. Montalvo Manor has been rebuilt. You know they're in the process of, they tore down the old El Cerrito, they're going to rebuild El Cerrito. Verde's been rebuilt. We need those. The change in the face of the students from the entrance school, like my school, Montalvo Manor, and I do extra work for them. I'm the so-called patrol cop on Christine Avenue, direct to turn into one-way traffic, so everyone knows me, and they say buenos dias or good morning to me. But the look on students' faces when they enter a brand new rebuilt school is fantastic. There's a glow on their face. You look at the students also, for example, that attend Lavagna de Jean School, the big middle school in Richmond. We ask you to think about it. There are some schools in our district that are very fancy, very nice schools, and what we're asking for is members of the community. As I did last Friday and Saturday, Saturday and Sunday at St. Mark's Church, I worked the crowds in Spanish. And I said, we need schools. And the parents kept on saying, si es para educación, o la salud, por supuesto. If it's for education and for health, of course you've got our support. And they took the banners and the flyers with them. I did the same thing when I worked the Latino Heritage Day in San Pablo. And I got the same positive results. So we're asking you to think about it, think about our schools. We're asking you to support Major J to rebuild Castro, Coronado, Dover, Fairmont, Ford Elementary, Grant Elementary, Highland Elementary, King Elementary, Lake Elementary, Nystrom, Colón,
Elementary, Valley View, Wilson Elementary, and then the high schools, De Anza, Kennedy, Pinole, and Richmond High. Wherever you live in the county, your son, daughter, cousins, whoever they are, will be affected by the new school. The property values will go up. I bought my house in Montana Manor over 20 years ago. My daughter said, Dad, you should have bought two houses when you bought it 20 years ago, but I don't have the money now. So look at the schools. Try to buy some of the new schools. Look at them. It is a debt on our county. But it's like a mortgage. You pay it off. Look at it very carefully. It will not go to administrative salaries. I can assure you of that. And why? I'm also vice chair of the Bound Oversight Committee. Nothing gets by it. We raise holy heck with the associate superintendent, Mr. Bill Martin. But I'm also the one that some of the parents call and say, Antonio, we're not getting a response that we like. Come and visit our school. I visit all kinds of schools in the county. I'm retired, so I have the time to do stuff like that. I enjoy this kind of work. I enjoy speaking to community groups. So we ask your support. We've got 17 more schools to go, and hopefully you'll support us in the trade effort, primarily for our students. Not for administrators, but for our students.
My name is Mike Mahoney, and I'm the chair of the Bond Oversight. I've been on the Bond Oversight for 5 years, and I've been the chair for the last year and a half. I'd like to, we have Madeline Cronenberg back there who's on the Bond Oversight, we have Kevin Rivard from the Bond Oversight, Gail Mendez from the United Teachers Union of Richmond. I can't say enough about it. We do keep a close eye on your money, you know. And it's going to raise your taxes. It will. Just like when you remodel your house. But if you go look at some of these schools that are done, I think you'll be impressed. We're building first-class facilities. You know, a theater in El Cerrito, all the schools, all the high schools are getting field turf, rubberized track. When we were doing the decision to make the rubberized track and and all of that, some of the things were brought up. We wanted pole vaulting. We were told, well, we don't have pole vaulting in the district. Well, because we don't have the facilities for it. These things have all track and field events set up for them. And that's what we're trying to do for all the schools. Their secondary schools are set up for wireless computers. Each school will have something. They're not all the same. Yeah. Are they Cadillacs? They're really nice. I was on the bond oversight in the beginning, and prior to Prop 39, the bond oversight had a lot of school district employees on it, prior to being a Prop 39 bond. We were just at Measure M. And we made the recommendation to the board of what scale of construction. We didn't want portables. No more portables. After 20 years, the state deems your children unhoused and affordable. We wanted to build nice schools. We had, this was called a 1C option. We had options all the way from all portables to something that, you know, we just couldn't afford. They're expensive. But they're worth it. We have to have parity throughout the district. We want all students to be, you know, educated in the places they want to go to. That's safe. Please excuse this, okay? It came to mind today, and I hesitated to bring it up. I was watching the news, and I seen the Pakistan thing. I'm not saying that these schools won't do that, okay? We make that clear to everybody. But these schools are built now to a seismic rating, a code level of the one every 500 year earthquake. I can't tell you what Richter scale that is. But I watched the devastation. I thought, you know, if one of my schools fall down, if 10 of the children die, you guys would be kicking yourself if you didn't go for this. But that's a scare, and I don't want to do that. I just seen it today, and I thought, man. So it's $400 million. We have approximately $550 million under construction today. Our total bond program will be $1.3 billion. Will this bond take care of it all? No. Is there a senior exemption? State law doesn't allow it. Are we accelerating our construction program? Yes. We're looking at about a 5% inflation rate, escalation rate on our construction. $400 million, approximately somewhere between $40 and $50 million, depending on who you talk to, in matching funds. You stretch that out over 10 years, or you accelerate it. We accelerated the last two bonds. We're really moving. We moved it way up, and we think we got more buying power by not going 5%, 5%, 5% in the years gone by. So that's my presentation. I hope that you all will vote for it. I have endorsement forms if any of you want to personally endorse it. I can just tell you that I have several properties here. My children are out of school. I think it's important. And somebody paid for the school that I went to. And I think that I have to pay for the schools that somebody else goes to. So,
Do we have any questions? Just going to ask a question. I thought you were finished.
I didn't hear also Brandy School. And I'm sure.
Okay, you have.
That's really a bad.
No, he did. He said D'Anzo and Valley View.
Yep, the Elementary School.
That's not on the list.
Middle School is on the list.
We had Sheldon. We had Marie Murphy that already are being done.
Yeah.
You're not getting all the schools. I mean, we're not.
That's one of the worst.
Yeah.
Well, we went by
Charles Ramsey from the school board.
Yeah. And I want to explain why.
All right.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. The schools that have been done here in Nelson Brandy Valley have been Marie Murphy and Sheldon. We did those as part of the Phase 1B projects and made sure that we put the kind of repairs in that was needed and necessary. The decision making then went into the whole scope of what we were going to do. We had to be clear regionally. And we knew that D'Anza had been in the should have been in the other phase of the 1D schools. But because this community was understanding enough to say, we'll wait if another bond passes, the principal, David Moss, you ask me who said it, I'm telling you. David Moss, the principal, the site team over there said they wouldn't allow the other schools because there was a commitment to do the very best we could by D'Anza. And so we had to make regional. D'Anza High School alone is getting 1/4 of the bond money. So to be fair, we couldn't do every school in El Sobrante because they were getting 1/4 of the additional money that was coming up. So we had to choose one school. And Valley View Elementary had more structural need than El Sobrante Elementary or Linda. So that is why Valley View Elementary was selected as the additional elementary school, and that would give 3 of the elementary schools in El Sobrante Valley out of 5 completed. 60% of the elementary schools here in Valley View would be done. That's not happening anywhere else. 60% of the elementary schools in Richmond will not be done after this bond measure. 60% in Pinole, Shannon and Collins also are not being done. So we felt for regional balance and fairness, D'Anza is getting $110 million allocated for its school. We're looking at this proportionally. Pinole Valley is getting $70 million. Kennedy's getting $60 million. So we felt that we had to have some regional balance. And so we felt funding-wise that we were putting basically $125 million into the El Sobrante Valley on this bond measure that it was getting its fair share, and that is the decision why. And I agree, I voted not to close El Sobrante Elementary, okay? I was one of the votes not to close it, to keep it open, because I think it is valuable and we will get to it. But we have a schedule, and that's the decision that came in to make sure that we have some regional balance.
Okay. I have 2 questions. What school is David Ross principal of?
No, David Moss was a former principal at D'Anza High School.
Oh, D'Anza High School. Okay.
Right.
And so what is going to happen to El Sobrante Elementary School?
It's open. We kept
it's open today, but yeah. What can
not only is open. I mean, that's what it is. It's open. There's been the board made a decision to keep it open.
For how long?
Until there was no okay, hold on a second. There wasn't a decision to say after X amount of time it will close. They came and says we want to close El Sobrante Elementary. The board voted 3-2 not to close. Mm-hmm. So it stays open. Until if somebody brings forward a motion or something else, I can't tell. But it's been told that that's an unfair statement to make a statement that there's no basis for that statement that he said that it would come forward on November 8th, and I hope he would refrain from doing that.
So is there any plan at all to make any repairs at El Sobrante Elementary?
Yes, we plan to do it, but not right now because right now we have a schedule, and we're going to do Valley View and De Anza. If this bond passes, and we've put $2 million into continuing planning for De Anza, because we want De Anza to be ready to go out to start construction next summer. Dean Lewis McKinley is working on that project every day with the site committee to make sure that happens. We're also looking at including a pool to partner with the county in terms of having in the city of Richmond to have that facility have a pool, as well as with Sheldon with trying to get it with R9. We're working to have a soccer field out there, and we're going forward with that as well for the community.
Okay, yes. Wendy has a question. I think that there are a number of questions, but I think the gentleman here asked for some time, so I feel like we should listen to what he has to say and then take questions for everybody.
So you want to do it that way? I was just going to finish up the gentleman and then listen to him, but
we can answer questions that people may both want to answer.
Well, you can ask questions. That's what we're doing right now.
Well, one final point I want to make sure that we're today. This is what was not really mentioned. Because of the bond program, we've captured $44 million from the state in matching money. That is a tremendous amount of resources that this community benefits. We're also going to capture another $20 million because of the money that we're getting for El Cerrito High, the money we're getting for Helms and Panola Middle. And if the next bond passes, I'm not saying we're going to get it, but if the state has money, we're eligible for another $42 million. So I want to make sure that's clear. There's no guarantee that we're going to get that money. Also, next week, our financial audit that was behind will be available and ready to go. People have been very critical, and we are sorry. Our auditors just quit in the middle. We had to go hire a new auditing firm. The board did that. That the audit will be ready for 03-04 next week. And 0405 is not due until December 15th. But
okay,
that will be
over your time.
I think there are so many questions that in order to give any equal time, we're going to need to hear both.
All right, well, let's hear the gentleman that's against Measure J. Thank you very much. Mr. Medrano and Ryder.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much for allowing me the opportunity to come and speak on behalf of the West County Property Owners Alliance. Again, my name is Paul Fries. I also serve as a member of the Hercules Education Commission. I'm also one of the signers on the ballot arguments against Measure J. If the critical issue was whether or not the schools in the district need to be repaired and upgraded, we can all agree and leave right now. That's not the issue. We all know that they need to be repaired and upgraded. The real issue is, should you, as civic leaders, tell your fellow citizens that they should continue to give their hard-earned tax dollars to a school district which has shown itself to be unable to effectively manage either its current expenses or its capital projects? Okay. I urge you to say no to Measure J, and here's why. First, there was widespread support for bond measures E, M, and D, which promised to complete repairs on all district projects. It's in their ballot arguments. But only 16 months after the passage of Measure D, the district returned to the voters saying they needed another $450 million. Voters wanted to see a detailed analysis of the costs for each project. They wanted to see a real plan with specifics and a true timeline. In its arrogance, the district never provided that information. So many citizens opposed Measure C, which was soundly defeated at the polls. It seems the district never learned the lesson and now is asking for another $400 million. Measure J, again with no detailed analysis of project costs, no real plan, no specifics, and no timeline. Let's talk about what we know and what we don't know and why that should influence your decision and voters' decisions. We know that the school district has a history of underestimating the project costs. There are excessive cost overruns, a large number of unplanned change orders. What we don't know is these problems have been solved. And as Mr. Ramsey pointed out, we haven't received the state-mandated financial audit for the fiscal year that ended in June of 2004. And even when we get that report, only a fraction of the bond money will have been spent since that was nearly 16 months ago. Until we get more specific financial information, we should not rush to approving more bonds. We know that this bond measure makes vague commitments about what the measure will cover. It reads nearly exactly like old Measure D. What we don't know is where the comprehensive needs and cost analysis is for these projects. Is there an escalation factor for delays in construction? Okay, it was alluded to 5%. I have evidence that indicates that it's much, much higher than 5%. This district is in declining enrollment. How has that been factored in? What about closing schools or those that are under-enrolled? There are new areas of residential growth. This bond measure mentions a new school in Hercules, but it only talks about acquiring land. What about building the school there? Without this critical information being made public available, nobody should be asked to authorize these bonds at this time. Next, we know that even if the bonds were passed in November, only $73 million could be issued under the state's 2.5% of assessed property value bond limit. Now, the district is planning to ask the state for a waiver of the debt limit. Even if they get 3%, it would only be able to issue a little more, less than half the bonds. So how are you going to rebuild De Anza at $110 million? Or how are you going to do any of the other 17 schools if you can't even get that much money from the state? What this means is additional delays in construction. So why rush to support a bond at this time? What we don't know is why would the district want to seek a waiver to exceed the state's guideline, its legal guideline? We know that the district has current financial problems that have not been dealt with. Most notably is the cost for retiree health care. Here are the facts that show where the district has failed to deal with an issue that has dire financial consequences. The district provides lifetime health care to teachers and their spouses after working in the district for 5 years. This has been promised, but no funds have been set aside to pay for these costs, and the district has been paying for it as a pay-as-you-go basis. According to the actuaries, if the district had made the proper payment to fund all these commitments, they would have had to pay $72 million, or one-third of the general fund budget. Pay-as-you-go is only $12 million. As long as the district fails to accumulate money to pay for this debt or fails to change the agreements with the teachers union, this figure will continue to grow significantly. So why should you care? The $72 million figure translates into a cost of $2,238 per student per year. That's about one-third of the district's allocation per student. The cost for virtually everything will need to be cut in order to service this debt. Or taxes will need to be raised again and again. This means our students will continue to suffer through continued cutbacks in educational programs. Until the district can get its fiscal house in order, there should be no rush to approve this bond measure. In conclusion, you've been asked to support a $400 million bond measure, which will inevitably run into $800 million when you add up the interest costs for the bond. This is a great deal of money. Given the length of the repayment period, these bonds will be paid by the children of today's West County students. This is a significant financial commitment for West County. Don't give the district a green light to continue conducting business as usual. Let them know how you feel. You have the power and the right to say no. They won't listen otherwise. Until you're satisfied the district can effectively manage its finances, I urge you to vote no on Measure J and all future bonds. And what I'd like to do is to give you a information sheet which identifies the Measure 1A, the Measure 1B, the Measure D1 projects, which indicates how the costs have escalated over time. Most of them are significantly higher than the 5%, up over 100%. I'd also like to indicate that, yes, in fact, past bonds have gone to providing administrative salaries to the tune of almost $1 million per year. The last thing I'd like to do is let you know how upset I am with the fact that Mr. Mahoney and Mr. Medrano are here to speak in favor of the bond measure. As you know, they are the chair and the vice chair on the Bond Oversight Committee, which is supposed to be an independent, impartial body that is supposed to oversee how the bonds are spent, not be a proponent for bond measures. At that point, I'd like to thank you for your time. I'll pass this over to you. I have more of that information, and I'm willing to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Right now, we can take questions. I'd like to take questions from the council first, and then from our general public. Marilyn, you had your hand up first.
I have a copy of my property tax bill. And it ain't funny, I'll tell you. I have no daughter in public school anymore. She was in public schools back in the 80s. She got severely beaten up.
Can you go to the point, Marilyn?
And she also got, I'm telling her why, I would never vote for any more bonds. I'm paying right now $211.30 a year. I don't have any kids in school. I'm almost a senior. I guess you could call me a senior. And I get to pay even more. There's no senior exemption on this, and I'm sick and tired of it. I know when I was out there demonstrating in the street at Lavagna Dejon where we had a murder, that Taj Mahal of a public school, where you had a murder right out there of a public employee in the school district. So I don't think building new schools is going to make it any safer than it is terrible right now. So
right.
I am totally against it.
Okay, thank you, Marilyn. Do we have any other questions? Yes,
yes.
Barbara?
I just wondered why they were putting money into rebuilding or improving Kennedy, which is a much newer school than El Sobrante Elementary School. You know, why would you go and a brand new school that hasn't been there that many years and not do something for a school that is a ghetto school like El Sobrante Elementary?
Does anybody have an answer to that?
Yeah, the board has a program and a schedule looked at, as I said, proportionality, what's fair, all taxpayers of Canada believe that there are needs, the safety issues at all schools, and we're trying to address it. We made sure that we've been fair to every region. People could say Richmond's paying the greatest amount of tax, and they have been fair throughout the district. El Sobrante Elementary, too, has a wonderful school. We kept it open. As I was just telling a parent, we'll free up money with routine restrictions. We'll be able to do some repairs possibly at the school. We're not going to ignore any school that has health and safety issues. What this helps make sure that dollars are spent in a way that maintenance dollars can be utilized at schools that need them, because as you bring newer facilities online, then you're able to cut down on the maintenance needs. and be able to focus on the remaining schools. So we're excited about the opportunity to continue the program, and we think Los Grande Elementary, which I visited and been a part of, will be able to see some benefit. It doesn't actually mean it's going to come out of a bond pot, but it can come out of the routine restricted maintenance money or deferred maintenance that we receive from the state every year. And the fact that we have bond money gives us the opportunity to get the matching money from the state that you need to be able to get money for your deferred maintenance. So it's really leveraged what we have, and we're real happy to be able to have additional routine restricted maintenance to help the schools that aren't part of this measure.
Can I ask you a follow-up on that?
Yes.
I think every community pays its fair share of taxes. It's the return on your investment that is important. I live in Hercules. I know that Hercules, because of the escalating home appraisals over there, pays a significantly larger portion of the property taxes than we actually get returned back to us in our dollar of investment. That's okay if, in fact, we were getting our money's worth in terms of educating the kids, which we don't believe we are. In terms of the state matching fund, unfortunately, it's not really a state matching fund, because that assumes that you're getting a 50% match. In fact, this district hasn't really ever gotten a 50% match. They're lucky to get a 10% match.
All right, we have a question here. I really appreciate all of your presentations, and I think for people who've attended our meetings over time, the problems at DeAnza the high school have come up probably every month. And I think that there are definitely concerns about a bond issue, but I think for all of us who live here and who want to see things improve and change and get better, that we need to support our schools in any way we possibly can, and this happens to be the way before us on the table right now. I don't think that means that we shouldn't also be working with the district to make all the other improvements that are clearly needed. And so I really appreciate all of you spending a lot of time to look into this. I had one question because we have talked about the schedule. And if you could just help me understand how the schedule will be accomplished. Are there other sources of funds? Is the district planning more bonds? Or how is that going to play out over time?
The schedule is going to remain the same. If the bond measure passes, then there'll be 8 elementary schools, one of which, for some of these specific, is Valley View, which will have, we're doing architect selection now, coming out RFPs if it passes. In December, there'll be a site team ready to go to Valley View. The end of it, I've already talked to Wally Gordon. So the schedule is they will continue and the schools will be 06, 07. That's the schedule. And then, yes, there'll be another bond to complete the schools to be able to do it. I know the teachers wanted to comment. I hope you can give Gail Mendez, the president of the United Teachers of Richmond, who's been here all night, an opportunity to say something on behalf of the
nation. May I just follow up on that one?
But I hope that it answers.
Yes, can you do it quickly, please?
The bond program is up over $1.3 billion. This $400 million bond only brings the program up to slightly over $950 million. That means that another bond that you're talking about is going to be another $400 million or more.
Okay, thank you. We have a question back here now. I think that we're finished here.
I just need
to respond to the comment about the bond oversight committee. I mentioned all the groups. You can't hear me? Sorry. To mention all the organizations that I belong to, aside from the Retired Teachers Association, in 2 years on the Contra Costa Grand Jury, but I can't speak as a member of the Grand Jury, I no longer serve on it. But I mentioned the Mount Oversight and my dedication to education by tutoring at the Pinole Valley Library, only because to tell you that there are some of us who sit on the Mount Oversight and are very, very vigilant about how the money is spent. Chew them out all the time. So I want to just make that. I didn't come here to speak on behalf of the Bond Oversight Committee.
Thank you.
I happen to be a member.
Lady was next, I believe.
My name is Gail Mendez, and I'm the president of the United Teachers of Richmond. The teachers are home working on lesson plans tonight. They asked me to come out. Some are phone banking, actually. They asked me to come out and just tell you, you know, several different times tonight someone has said, why rush into this? Well, there's a reason. And you had even mentioned that you don't have kids and go to schools and there's a declining enrollment. But there's a couple things I just hope you keep in mind. One is you don't start refurbishing or building schools once the kids are standing at the door. And we know when you look at the population, that within about 2 years, we're going to start having an increase of children needing to go to schools, and we can't wait to build the schools until they're standing there. The other thing is, and let me just give you an example of this. Remember when they built Hercules Elementary School? There was no housing, and all of a sudden one summer there was housing in the late 1970s. And we didn't have any place to house the kids, so we went out and bought trailers that were used, and we set them on the campus. And those teachers would be having kids sitting in classes that had water coming into them, leaky roofs. They heated them with heaters that were plugged in.
I need to stop you. We were having questions, not another presentation.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We just don't have time for any more presentations. But I appreciate your comments.
But we have to do it for the kids. I mean, that's what it's about. It's not the grown-ups.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Kevin, you had a question.
I wasn't going to come here tonight, but I was called yesterday and told that there were people on the Bond Oversight Committee that are representing themselves to such. At the last Bond Oversight Committee, it was stated that I helped write the opposition piece that went into ballot. I did not. Tom Lincoln can vouch for that. Yesterday, someone called up and asked if I would put a sign on my house. I said I would do it. I sit on Bond Oversight Committee. I believe I should be independent. Given that, but since they want me to speak, they obviously pointed me out. The paper that I passed out shows how much money is going to be spent on each on schools. They might not have that. The problem is they are asking for a $400 million bond, and they have $470 million in that, and those figures are not current figures. They're from a couple of years old. They also do not include seismic upgrades at this point. Also, one more thing I'll say, and then they can respond, is that I have how much money was reconciled in April of 2005, and at that point, they said we had about $500,000 to the good in the bond program left over to do the building. Now we have September 28th, and it is now $8 million in the hole. So between April of this year and September of this year, we've gotten $8 million in the hole, and the paper that I passed out, they're asking for $25 million of this $400 million bond to pay for the continuation of the programs that are currently going on because they don't have enough money to finish the programs they currently have. And El Cerrito High is going to go a lot higher than their $100 million, and that money is also going to come out of this bond. So the problem is you're not being told, in my opinion, you're not being told the whole truth so you can make an informed decision on this. They're giving you the bottom line information so that you can be informed. And again, being an independent bond oversight committee, I don't think we should be out here telling you how we feel. If you want to come as a person, as a citizen, that's one thing. But when you represent the bond oversight committee, I think you then take away your independence.
Thank you, Kevin. Questions, please. Let's limit. No more presentations, not questions. Jim had a stand-up first, I think, Mr.
Thank you all. You know, I would note a significant difference in the presentations that I noticed between the pro-Measure J folks and the anti-Measure J folks. The anti-Measure J fellow actually presented his apps, whereas I found you folks just presenting these emotional appeals. Now, as an informed citizen, I want facts. And I've actually offended that you guys did not present facts and just the
emotional. Jim, can you ask if you have a question? I think you have a question.
My question is, Seaview Elementary has been slated for closure, and we are hearing about all these schools that need repairs. Why are we spending money on Seaview Elementary to use it for an administration building when there are still classrooms for our kids that need to be built?
The population of El Cerrito had to be moved because the state condemned that building as an earthquake fault, and we had to utilize that site. So rather than selling the site off, we had another land use for it, which was administration. You can't put people into a site that does not meet the needs of administration. Seaview students were then disseminated out to Shannon. So we had to upgrade it to make it accommodating for the administration needs that supports the school programs. That's right.
So we're using bond monies for that?
We use $100,000.
Okay.
Question. I'm going to try to put this in the form of a question, okay? There's $1.3 million in total budget. There's about maybe $400 million that's not going to be covered by this. The school district, a budget is a guideline. It's not something to be adhered to. Every bond has paid money to finish the previous bond projects. In the paper the other day, it said it was going to be till 2014 when you could sell the last $100 million of this bonds. Just when are you going to fix the schools that aren't on this list? And what's going to keep you within your budgets if you have another $400 million to keep offsetting these other programs?
Well, with the assessed valuation growth in this area, we're actually not at a debt limit. And as a matter of fact, there needs to be a correction. They're using data and information that does not reflect the assessed valuation that the county assessor's office has given us for the 04-05 year that ended. And so we actually can sell up to $135 million just next year. And then we can sell $85 million the year after that. We also have $200 million that's still remaining. We did our last sale 2 weeks ago. Citigroup purchased the last $100 million. Those are facts. So we have not reached even our debt limit. There is a provision in the ballot language that's clear in there. In the event that we need to, we want to be proactive and thoughtful and let the voters know that we may need to apply for a debt limit, whatever. But there's no chance that that may happen because the assessed valuation has grown. We're also being very conservative as what we're considering future growth at 5.3%, even though we've seen an annual growth over the last 8 years of 9.5%. So we believe that we'll be well within the debt limit. The answer will get done. It is happening right now. It's slated to be bid out along with the other projects in the city. The end is not behind. Yes.
I'd like to comment on that. It's easy to pull facts right out of here like this. Okay, where is it? We in the West County Property Owners Line called the county state in regards to assessed valuation. We got the figures. They calculated out for us 2005-2006 what the assessed valuation was. And they calculated out what the district had or could spend as far as the debt limit. Okay, I'd like Mr. Ramsey, I'd like the school board, provide us with hard facts on paper and the sources that they're quoting from.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're going to take this one question and then one more and then we're going to have to call it off. You are way over your limit. You are over your limit. So we have to go on. So we'll hear from Wendy and then we'll hear from Rick and then that's it. Okay?
I'm just wondering, in the hope, because I do hope that this measure passes, because I do hope that schools that are in our community on this measure can get improved, how can the citizens here ensure that this timing, I understand that you're saying it's moving forward, but what do we do to make sure that this moves forward? It sounds like maybe we need to work with the principal to make sure they keep moving and the school board. Are there other things that the community can do to make sure that the improvements happen?
Yeah, we have what are called school site committees. And regular citizens, Madeline Cronenberg, who's our chair of our committee, is part of the El Cerrito School Site Committee. We want you, we need you to sit on those committees because it's your vision that we want to be imprinted at the end of. We want the community to be the ones that give us the signature school in this area to be able to make sure it reflects the values, the history of this community. And you can call the new principal, Vera Rousey, who's already been through this at Pinole Middle. She's the principal at De Anza High School. She's very welcome. You can call Karen Piper, who's our liaison on the school board, who goes to the safety committee meetings at De Anza. We have Lanterns now. We're working with this whole committee, John Joya. If you need facts about the schedule, call Aquacina Lopez, 268-9660. That's the number. She is our financial advisor. She will give you the hard data that my friend Paul Fee says that we need to have. And he's right. We need to make sure that everybody has that, because we want to make sure that we have integrity for what we do. I just want to give you the information.
Thank you. We need to hear from Rick.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I read the information that I got in the mail. And, of course, El Sobrani Elementary was on the list.
No.
Because I still believe it's still going to be closed next year.
No, it's not. Okay.
It's not. We missed that. We talked about it.
But I want to be honest. I think it's healthier if we tell you the facts up front. We made a mistake under Measure M. We told you we'd fix all 39 elementary schools. They beat us up on that all the time. We said we're not going to repeat the mistakes of the past and give the impression that we can do something that we can't. Valley View, Indiana will be done.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your coming, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, moving on, we have another report. Okay, we really need to move on. It's very late. We are behind. So we're going to have a report now by Erica King on the Asphalt Community of Sea Health. We have to have a quiet. We have a sentence to
So, Thursday, March 29th, there was a great chat of community folks and customers talk about potential map roles in a potential committee to address El Sobrani and community issues, and also to give comments about a vision for El Sobrani, a draft proposal. There was a little bit of confusion about the legal structure of the meeting. So what we decided to do was MAC members present agreed to withhold comments. We could proceed just receiving public comments. So that's what we did. We just went around, received public comments. That's included in the packet. I don't know if all of you have that. But it is recorded. Clearly it's an issue that clearly people are very interested and concerned about the future of our community. So our hope is we can continue this discussion and continue drafting some proposals about this.
Thank you. Any questions, Marissa? Okay, let's move on. I want to talk a little bit about the stroll. I thought it was very good, and thanks to Tom Owens, who set up our booth. We had our big banner, which now says El Sobrani, and that's for the Bank of Council, so everybody knows who we are, the local town council. Thank you, Erica, for that. Appreciate having that. What do we want to do next year? I had suggested that we get on the parade. And I think that might be a good thing now that we have our banner, so we can show everybody that we have who we are. But I'm wondering, is there anything else we can do, and how would we present our banner? Does anybody have any creative ideas? Wendy?
I would propose that maybe 6 months from now we do a serious planning, because I believe that we should fully participate. I love the idea of being in the parade. It was an incredible stroll, so well attended, so vibrant and vital. But I think now it's a little premature because it's just ended, and probably 6 months from now we should spend a good amount of planning our participation and helping out with the event.
That's a good idea. My reason for bringing it up now is because I don't want to wait 6 months and then say, let's come up with a plan. I want everybody to kind of think about it in between now and 6 months from now, so that when we do get ready to start planning, we can have some really good ideas. So that was my reason for bringing it up now.
So clarification, was that a motion? Or
it just says we can take action or not take action as we please, so we don't.
I move that our March agenda include a discussion of how we will participate in the stroll in September.
Could I amend that? I think we shouldn't. Hope it's not against the Brown Act, but what I'm thinking is, could you maybe make it that we, let's see, now how do I want to say it, including some creative brainstorming on how we could participate.
Yeah, I move that in, well, now we have to remember this, so March 2006, our agenda includes a time to brainstorm creative ideas of what we can do to participate in the stroll and how we will accomplish those ideas. I second that motion.
Okay, do we have any more discussion on that? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Okay, so that gets passed. Okay, so we'll put that tomorrow. Do you have that down, Marilyn, right?
I have that she moved that the March 2006 agenda included discussion of the Elsa Brandy Mack stroll participation. Is that sufficient?
We'll remember
this for you. All right, that's fine. Okay, not exactly one, but that's fine. Okay, now then, let's talk about the to vote to support the installation of the circular pole tower at 5550 Valley View Road. Misako Phil made the presentation in our last meeting, and we did not have it down on our agenda, so she could not, we couldn't vote on it. But I think we all thought it had no objections to it, so can we have a vote now?
Can we discuss it?
I'm sorry, Ben.
Can we discuss it? It's on the agenda.
We can discuss it. It's
okay. I asked you for the PDF files that Mosaka sent, including one on irradiation.
A whole bunch of them, right here.
You could have sent them to me via email so I could look at them.
No, I couldn't send them to you. I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Well, as chairman, you should be able to do that.
No,
you know?
I couldn't.
It's a little late right now, but I talked to some people that live in that area, and they are very concerned about certain things that I could not give them the information because I didn't have it.
It is not. It is way out in the country. I don't believe there's any.
That's not the point. Why vote on it if you think it's just going to? You know, there's no point in voting on it. We're voting on it, so I have a right.
Last time,
and she didn't give a lot of information. And I have other questions about her. She has another pole that's gone up down on Dam Road, too. So, I mean, why so many installations in Elsa Brandy?
That's so that people can use their cell phones.
I have the singular wireless cell phone. I have no problem with it. So I have issues with it.
Sheriffs have had problems in the past.
I have issues also. The people that I spoke to in the Valley del Vista, Vista del Valle, no, they wanted me to ask you about it because she couldn't come tonight. Mrs. Duchesne. She is very interested in, they said they are opposed to it until they get more information. And they live in the area.
I'm sorry, I accidentally did not pick up the information I meant to bring to you, but I'll be happy to get it to you. And it tells you all about the whole installation, and it is there is no danger to anyone.
Well, you're asking me to vote on something that I don't have any information.
You don't need to vote.
Oh, of course I won't. You know.
Yes.
There is some new information about that, and it's still up to you whether you want to go ahead and vote. But the City of Richmond has asked for a change in the location. So,
the
one at $5,500 value, it was going to be at the top of the hill that you just come up to, but now they're going to move it back to another hill site so that Misako Hill is supposed to bring some new information to us at the meeting tomorrow. So, it's up to you if you want to put this off or if you just.
Well, okay, well, I really don't care. The thing is that I just had told Judy Battle that we would send her the information that we would be taking a vote tonight because it was my understanding that there was no problem with it, that we all thought it would be satisfactory. But if there's been a change, maybe we should have it.
And only in the location. It's still the same twofold. Yeah.
What's the new location?
All I heard, I have these drawings which are just pushed back on the hillside.
But it's still at 5500 Valley View Road?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, still on that property. That's Taylor Ranch, that's about 65 acres.
Okay, do we want to vote on that slide or do we want to come back?
I think we have information that what we would be voting on is no longer current. It doesn't make sense to vote.
Okay, then we will pass this one over, and I'll ask Mr. McFarquhar to come back and make a presentation.
I got one more comment. The information you put in the packet, I couldn't even read it.
Well, that's unfortunate, Madam, because, you know, you need to go over it and study it and learn.
I couldn't read it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you're asking me to vote on something. You don't really give a big, you know what, that I can't read. I can't read what you're putting in here, and you're asking me to vote on it. I object to that.
I'm not voting on it.
Well, I better get it next time, or I'm going to object again.
Well, I'll give you what I have. If you can't read it, I'm very sorry, because it's very clear in our, I don't see what.
You have a clear copy. I don't. Does that make sense to you? The copy you gave me are unreadable.
Okay, we're moving on. So, anyhow, we need to send a letter to the letter in the agenda to Zoning Officer Clifton. Do you mind if I say that? Somebody want to?
I'm going to send that letter.
I just wanted to note that the pile of junk that's in that lot is increasing dramatically.
Yeah, it is.
And it's something that we really need to get cleaned up for the community.
Just real quick, I actually spoke to Ms. Cookson on the phone several months ago, even before you said anything about it, and she says, I'll take care of it. I called her back. She says, I'm looking into it. I called her back again, and she wouldn't return my call. So she is well aware of what's going on there.
Yeah.
All
right, well, we'll send the letter. Are we ready to vote on?
Yeah. I just want to say I spoke to Ms. Cookson just a few weeks ago about this issue, and I'm just wondering, you know, what is the process that they do to make someone like this change, you know, change their way and clean up their act, because it's just so horrible. And what she said was there's some county. Yes. Ordinance against it, and that it's in process of, you know, being looked into or something. And to me, that's really unacceptable.
Yeah, well,
I
sure
think that's unacceptable. And it's horrible. It's a horrible eyesore. I just wonder what they do. What can they do?
We have had Patty come make a presentation on the process.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they have to do is they have to send a letter, and then they have to wait a certain length of time, then they send another letter, and then they have to wait a certain length of time. Eventually, they can take it to the Board of Supervisors. Mm-hmm. But it is a long process. It's like trying to evict somebody from a piece of property. You have to follow the law. You have to give them a certain length of time. If you like, we could have Patty Clifton come back and explain the process. But it is a long process, and so I will, right now we're trying to decide whether to send a letter, and I think that we're about ready to vote on that. Did you want me to?
I just have one comment along the lines of Mandy's comment, and I'm just wondering, in addition to what we're talking about, sending the letter, maybe someone on the MAC can take responsibility on behalf of the MAC to contact Officer Cookson between now and the next meeting, find out where in that process they are so that we can provide an update at the next meeting.
Yeah, I would be happy to do that. Okay, we're ready to vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, I will get the letter off then. And I will call Patty. I'll note that down to call Patty and find out where it goes in the process. Okay.
And Ruby?
Yes?
Could I make a request to you? Let us all know what she says before the meeting. I mean, as soon as you get the information.
If I can.
Yes,
I can email everybody. And look around. Yeah. I'll be happy to do that. So, okay. Moving on. Now, I would like to have a meeting, a special meeting, where we can talk about the process that we want to use to start looking over the information that I get from the county regarding the different building that's going on in El Cerrante. So we really need to, if we're going to do it, we need to get a process. And so
I would like to have a special meeting, and I would like to chair that simply because I'm really familiar with what's been going on in planning and zoning, and maybe we can discuss different ways to do it. Maybe we can talk about how planning and zoning does it. Maybe we can find out a new thing, whatever. But I would like to have a special meeting to go over that. I think that this has been on our agenda for months, and we have not made enough progress in getting a process set up so that we can do that. So, and I would like to do that. So can I have some comments on that? Mm-hmm. Maybe?
There was some misclarification. We made some mistakes at the last meeting in terms of our beginning attempts to try to address this issue. But I wanted to commend Erica because I thought she did a very nice job facilitating the meeting that she did. And I really appreciate your willingness to facilitate a meeting. But I would like to see Erica continue and to set up a subcommittee of the MAC to really delve into this issue, because I think that there are things that we talked about outside of just making recommendations on specific proposals that come before us, but how does the MAC in general handle our goals, and what is our role in the planning issues in our community, and how do we work with planning and zoning, and how do we make sure we don't duplicate, and how do we make sure that we're accountable to our community. So I think that there are some bigger issues that may take more than a special meeting to resolve, and that a subcommittee could.
Okay, the problem that I have is that, you know, is focus. You know, it has to be a focus meeting. And the ad hoc meeting was a focus meeting, focused more on the vision.
That's right.
Which was fine, there's no problem with that. But what I'm saying is that we have to get some kind of process set up if we're going to do it. And as I say, this has been going on for months, and we are not any further ahead. Barbara?
Yeah, I'd want to get some clarification, because I think there's some misunderstanding about the members and the majority of our members of the MAC, and it's in regards to the Elsa Brandon Planning and Zoning Projects. And I'm under the impression that the majority of the members are very satisfied with the review done by the current Elsa Brandon Planning and Zoning Advisory Committee. And the majority of the members have no desire to take on this committee's duties. That's my understanding of the majority. Now, you might want to vote on that. The majority of the members, however, are concerned that standard functions, like sidewalks on new development, standard county roads versus private substandard roads, the building of huge two-story houses on small lots where a single small house stood, and it was built without a review even before the Elsa Brandon Planning and Zoning Advisory Committee, and items of this nature are not reviewed as standards that Elsa Brandon residents want for their community. And it is my understanding that this ad hoc committee would be setting up a procedure to identify those items, and how they would interact. And it would be the items that are not currently under review, like a detailed asphalt driveway in, you know, on a certain project. Because we've got a lot of things to cover. So now, maybe I'm under the wrong impression, but that's my impression.
Well, we could have a meeting to hash this out, to get this straight. I mean, we could do that. I think Erica was next to it.
Just clarification. The meeting, the ad hoc meeting that we had on September 29th, we just received public comment only. So there was no discussion. If there was more public comment about the vision, that must have been indicative that was what the public was thinking about. Right. So there were a couple comments about the structure of what the committee would look like. Just to clarify.
Rick?
Yes, I would very much, I'm kind of tired, I don't enjoy it, but what you said, Ruby, just now was perfect for me, because that is exactly what needs to happen. We need to stop talking about visions and land use plans and all that specific stuff and redevelopment and start talking about process.
that is so key to developing the trust in the public commons that we've got to have in these meetings. And that's exactly what we need to be talking about, is process. Please talk about process.
Thank you, too.
I think we all start a line.
I wish we could put some kind of sign up over the wall or something that never again, for instance, you imagine, as we go back even when the Indians were here, they came through the valley here, and then as they made their ascent up China Slide, then they would see that beautiful vista of the North Bay and the bay, and now there's a rental building there.
You're talking vision. You're talking vision.
That can never happen again. Never, ever happen again.
Yeah.
I'm talking vision too, and I don't know that I understood all of what Barbara was saying, but what I really agree with is that planning and zoning has been doing a wonderful job of looking over all these applications and dealing with the minutia and some of the larger development issues that come our way, and monitoring all of that and reporting it. What to me is missing is, what can we do to stop the wholesale disappearance of open space, the annexations by Richmond, and maintain the community that has the rural characteristics that drew many of us here. And whatever it takes, if you call it a vision statement, or if it's a working group, or if it's more involvement in the county's general plan, whatever it takes, I just feel that there's a lot of momentum and a lot of people who would be interested in attending meetings where this kind of thing is discussed and where there's real advocacy that's beyond the scope of evaluating individual projects as they're presented.
Let me comment on that. Since I've been on planning and zoning for many years, I've learned that if people want to annex to Richmond, Richmond has allowed multiple houses on smaller lots than the county would allow. And if the next door neighbors want to annex in, and people want to annex there, if Richmond is contiguous, to that, and the owners want to sell and sell to Richmond, and Richmond wants to take it, then there's nothing that we can do about it. See, this is one thing that I think a lot of people don't understand. I have gone out and talked to people and said, you know, they want to do this, and this. And they say, well, I'm not going to say anything because the county just do what they want anyhow. You know, you try and talk with them and say, you know, we want to make it better. We want to see if we can control some of this. But we can't. But anyhow, this is something that you learn, and it's something I think that it's too bad that the citizens of El Sobrante don't know this. I don't know of any way to tell them, to let them know. If they would come to the planning and zoning meetings, if they would consistently come to them, they would learn. They would learn that if a developer owns the property and he's building within the zoning regulations, he has a right to do it.
Precisely, within the zoning regulations, which is what we're talking about amending in the general plan.
We're not talking about like the houses that come up on the vacant lots, the infill. Everybody's doing infill now. They want to do infill. And they're talking about how many new residents we're going to have and where are they going to be living and this sort of thing. But anyhow, what I really want to do is try to set up, what are we going to look at and how are we going to look at it? So that was my whole idea. Just a minute, Maggie, I'll get Marilyn.
You get things from the Community Development Department. You get project information from the community that's addressed to you as chair of the MAC, right? I know because I get the envelopes that I pick up every month. Right. They have asked you as a MAC, for the MAC, to look at these projects. You've made that statement several times. Is that correct?
They were under the impression that we were doing it.
And why aren't we?
Because we don't have a process, Marilyn. That's
we don't have to have a process. We need to start doing it.
We absolutely have.
I don't think. I have something else to say. I'm still talking.
Well,
okay.
You're saying
I'm saying something you don't like to hear. El Sobrante MAC could start doing El Sobrany projects right now. You get them, and there's no, we don't need a process. We need to start looking at them.
Maggie?
With all respect, I really think that you cannot have a process without a vision. And, well, you know, I think that there needs to be some sort of outline for El Sobrany that covers not just this moment, but the next 10, 20 years. And then you can look as El Sobrany MAC at individual things that developers are bringing in. I don't think that you need, I do think that you need to just do things within the MAC. I don't see why you have to spend so much time having all these different meetings about different things when it just seems to be taking too long to do things. And nobody has sort of a main idea of how things should go. You take it one thing at a time, and it sort of helps you filter the way that, you know. And I think that if you have a vision of how it should go, then you can move forward when people bring in planning and zoning, bring in new projects.
I don't think, I think we have to have a process first.
Rick? Yeah, what I meant to say earlier, before things got noisy, was that please form a committee if that's what you want to do. And when you form a committee, please follow county council's advice, whatever that is, and follow the federal government.
That's fine.
Okay. So that's all you got to have
on. Okay, thank you, Rick. All right, are we ready to vote on this?
How about you want to come up? All of you were elected to represent county people. If you have to PNC, how are you going to serve Richmond?
Well, we need to move on. I mean, this has been talked about for months, and we're not making any progress at all. I really think if we have the process first, then we can handle the vision. Maybe I'm wrong, Maggie, but that's the way I see it, that we need to get some kind of process going. So if we can look at these and see how they're set up and how we want to handle them, how do they fit into the vision? Can we work them into the vision, or do we try to work and get them out of the
vision? I've got a question. When you say process, do you mean preconceived notion of what you want El Sobrany to look
yeah,
like? What do you mean by process?
You know, you've just been argumentative all night, and I'm tired of it.
I'm tired of you, too, because you're not addressing the issue at hand.
I think this has to stop.
You know?
Yeah. This kind of dialogue is not.
She has given me projects with no information on it, wanting me to vote on this. That's no process,
we
I can tell you.
We have to vote to some dignity here. Okay,
now, Marilyn, with all due respect to you as well, as a citizen of El Sobrany and a voter, I just have to say that I never in my life have seen a committee that one person gets so angry and speaks and makes it so unproductive. And I really hope that maybe you'll consider lowering your voice and being a little more thoughtful when you make your point. I think you have a right to make your point, but you make them in a very destructive way.
Thank you, Maggie.
I would like to add another comment here that there are really times when PNC comes up with a project or a statement on the project where the MAC stepping in can be very important. And what I'm thinking about is the annexation that the existing Golden Oaks property, that when that developer was annexing that property to Richmond, he also tried to pull in at least four or five other parcels that were in the county. And those people did not want to go into Richmond. And it was only because we created a stir and there were people on the MAC then to help out. And so there are definitely times when a letter from the MAC, in addition to comments from P&G, can be extremely important, especially when it's something like that that deals with, you know, just county people and having them pulled in. And they were being pulled in because when you vote for annexation, it depends on how much land you own. And so if Dan and Lucy had, they would have had essentially no vote because their land was much smaller than the portion of land that Richmond was interested in taking.
Okay, so Erica?
I agree with Eleanor. I think there are many, many complex issues that need all the resources that this little community has to offer. And I think it would be much more effective if a small group of subcommittee met as opposed to a special meeting with all the MAC members. I would like to see a subcommittee come up with ideas and then bring the proposal back to the MAC.
Rick?
Yeah, I'd like to see that you're going to form a subcommittee, that you notice it, you know, according to the Better Government Ordinance, 96 hours in advance, that you hold public hearings as is required under your bylaws and conduct the meetings according to the bylaws. Please do it that way.
Thank you. You'll see you want to have a comment?
That's exactly what I was going to believe.
Okay, well, all right.
Thank
so,
you.
Wendy?
I was going to make a motion.
Okay.
I move that a subcommittee chaired by Erica Payne and consisting of Barbara Pendergrass and myself meet and discuss the issues and present monthly to the MAC on our progress, and that we then, as a majority, develop the process and also the framework, which I'm hearing some people say they also think is important around the planning and zoning issues.
Could I make a suggestion to that? That you add somebody from PNC, not necessarily me, but somebody from PNC.
You could be on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But we would definitely, I will add that we would definitely do everything that we, in our resources, make sure that the meetings are held according to every law that exists and that they are publicly noted and that the planning and zoning body, especially as some of us, is let you know when they are. They would be participating as members of the public at PNC. They wouldn't be able to be members of the public.
Okay, so you want to restate your motion, please?
Sure. I'm moving that an ad hoc committee, which means
short term. One time only.
No, it's not. It's on a specific issue. The specific issue being figuring out the process and framework by which the MAC is going to operate in the arena of planning and zoning issues in our community. So it would be, for now, a short-term authorization.
No, no, you're making your...
I'm explaining. Because you asked me a question.
I'll answer this. Just make sure your emotions.
Well, you asked your question.
Okay, so I apologize.
I believe ad hoc is the correct term. After I make my motion, anyone can correct that. Ad hoc, my understanding is that ad hoc meetings need to be publicly noticed. They fall under the Better Governance and Brown Act laws, and they function, and it means it can only be the three committee members. I mean, it just means the ad hoc piece pertains to a specific issue over a defined period of time, not forever. It's not standing, it's not going to be forever. It's going to figure out what they're going to do.
It's a limited time. All right, well, please restate your motion then.
So I'm moving that an ad hoc committee of the MAC, chaired by Erica Payne, with Barbara and myself as committee members, form to determine how the MAC will interact on planning and zoning issues in our community.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, do we want to discuss it anymore? I think it's pretty long. Okay, are we ready to vote then? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
You got it.
Any abstaining? Okay, so, all right. Then you will get together and meet. Will you let me know when you're meeting him?
It will be publicly noticed.
All right, and you are going to close it, right? Not me. Right? Okay.
And it's a point of clarification, the MAC members can attend his community.
Yes.
We cannot comment?
That's an ad hoc. You cannot comment. But I think that's one of the reasons I was thinking about a special committee, so that we could comment. Barbara?
I specifically asked Supervisor Joya tonight if there was a difference between an ad hoc committee and a committee, and he said no. It's a committee.
Not in terms of governance.
That's what he said. Right. He said it's one and the same.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out, is this now is a committee, right?
Well, we have.
They voted on it.
So it's not a special meeting of the MAC now.
No.
Right.
It's a committee.
Yes. With three council members, which means if more than three attend, only three may comment.
No, you have to appoint the three. You can't.
We already did.
They already did.
Yeah, they can't change.
Yeah.
So that's too bad because, it would be nice
if we could comment. So I think it will be brought back to the MAC, and at that point, everybody can comment.
Okay. All right, so we're moving on then. Okay, discussion items. We have the information from Scott Edmonds. He said that the reason that there's more public, private streets versus county streets is because the developers like private streets because they don't have to be built to the same specifications
right.
as county streets, and they don't have to maintain them, so the county doesn't have to maintain them. So the county's for them, and the developers like them because they can put in only one sidewalk. So that might be something that you want to move on, work on, when you move with the community. Okay?
Right.
So any more discussion on that item?
Irby, can I apologize? I have to leave.
Okay, that's too bad. I wanted to. Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Do you want to leave?
Thank you
CD
for coming.
No one here has. Yeah, I can leave the CD that has the.
We have nothing.
Precursor. Yeah, I know, but if someone could take it home, maybe we could. Pass it back and forth. The CD that contains a draft copy of the website.
Can you email the link to everybody?
Well, it's not hosted yet, so it's not up.
Like what we
but I can send the files.
Right.
I can send the files to everyone.
It
shouldn't violate. We're not discussing anything. I can send the files. Does everyone have the capability of unzipping files by Zipple.
Okay. What are these files of?
The website.
So
the draft copy of the website.
Tom, since you have to go, I didn't get a chance to look at it as part of the outreach group. So I can share a little bit about the topic.
Okay. Well, it's changed quite a bit, but from what you have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, I think a discussion item two. Anybody want to discuss anything on that? No. Okay. Let's move on then. Thank you, Tom. Okay. Moving on to the standing committee report.
I wanted to talk about one thing that's on the information item.
Okay.
The East Bay Municipal Utility District EIR, a couple of us were at the meeting, but I just wanted to make sure everybody knows that the dam project is going forward, that they're right now planning to do a fix-in-place project where they don't tear down the building and rebuild it, instead they keep the water flow where it is and they just reinforce. My opinion at this point is that this has the potential to be pretty disruptive to the community, and that we should stay involved in their EIR process. They're about to begin an EIR, and they were saying that they will be taking public comment during their 45-day period, but I want to make sure that everybody stays on top of this issue and deals with, traffic. It was unclear whether they were going to close Kennedy Grove. There were a lot of residents on Hillside Drive where they were going to try to open that entrance again. So there were a lot of issues that came up about the repercussions of this work. It's probably going to take 2 years, they're guessing.
Yeah. You know, Michelle Blackwell is here, and she's got this report.
Well, actually, Wendy, right?
Yeah.
She said it's correct. There were a lot of issues that were brought up at our public meeting, and many of those issues are issues that have to be resolved during the EIR process. So that's what the EIR is for. The EIR, the Environmental Impact Report, the whole point of doing that impact report and study is to determine how much traffic, how much disruption, what roads are going to be used, what roads are preferable, and all of that. And so she's correct. It should stay on top of it. And I know that the MAC did receive the notice of preparation
when the EIR comes out, the MAC will automatically receive one copy of the EIR. If you want more copies, just let them know. But definitely you need to do that. We are bringing, there were two alternatives. The first alternative, well, alternative one was to completely drain the reservoir and completely replace the dam. And the second alternative was to fix the dam in place. Second alternative is the alternative that's preferred. And that's kind of what we're looking for with the EIR. The schedule, as I understand it from the meeting, I'm not in the engineering department, but the schedule, I understand it, is that we're hoping to have the EIR out early next year in April, very spring, and that we hope to get it signed off by June next year.
Do you have time to make our comments on it?
We'll have the standard time frame.
45 days.
I wanted to add a couple more things. Then what they said at the meeting was after the EIR is accepted, then the design work would take another 12 to 18 months, let's say December 07, and then the construction would take approximately 2 years, and tentatively would be 2008-2010. And by using that in-place improvement, it's my understanding they would be able to keep the recreation services still available to the public.
So they were not going to drain it
entirely. Right, like they're not draining entirely. They pulled down the cement, and then they put a downstream buttress in front of the existing dam, because that seems to be the most vulnerable place right now, the dam frontage, which they didn't do any repair work on before.
Okay, thank you. Did you have any more to be talking about?
No, I just, I hadn't actually expected to report. I really came to introduce myself to the MAC and just know a little bit about that project.
Well, you know, Katie usually gives reports. So
okay.
So did Gretchen and then before, when she came too, she always gave us reports.
Okay, so I will plan to bring a report every time I come in.
Thank you.
I just want to recall, whoever was here, I don't know, maybe Ruby Hope, you were here, when the raw water pipeline project, Gretchen came and gave us a presentation, made a lot of promises, and none of them were kept. There were a lot of problems with that project. So I take Wendy's comments to heart that I think it's going to be really important to stay on top of this project, because it's way bigger than that pipeline project was. Way bigger.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, Marilyn. Okay, the information items 10-9 through 10-15, those appear to be items of projects that were sent to you by community development. Is that correct?
Right.
Why are they on our agenda since we can't act on them? Are they just...
Can you read the top that it says information items?
Yes, I see that, but we can't really do anything on them, so what's...
You can read them on the account.
And why would we want to read them?
Because you have asked in the past that I present these, that I put these in the agenda.
And are these all that you've gotten on behalf of the El Sobrany MAC from Community Development?
Yes.
Can you bring them in time so we could make an action ourselves when you get them, if we wanted to?
That's what the whole process is for. I have additional information on each one of them here. If you want to look at it, you're more than welcome to do that. I bring that each time. I brought it every time.
I'm not really finished. This is what I think we ought to do. The community development sends this stuff to you to act on. I think it's up to you to give it to us in time so we can act on it. If we have to make copies ourselves and pay for it, that's fine. But how can we act on something when we don't know what's going on or we don't have the information ahead of time? That's really important. That's part of the process. Since I'm not going to be on the committee, I hope you folks look at that part of the process, that what we act on, we need to get readable information, and we're not getting it.
I think there are a couple people on the council that are curious, interested about the information that you receive from community development. Is it something that copies could be made?
I'm not going to make copies of each. I absolutely refuse. Okay. I make enough copies of everything. Now, I'm sorry, but I, you know, this.
Or, that's fine. Or shall we contact Community Development ourselves to request?
No.
That they send us the information.
No.
But why are you saying no? I don't understand what's going on.
It costs a lot of money to send all this information out.
But you're not judge and jury of all. I mean, you're one of the members of this MAC, and we're supposed to be working together on this, and you just say, no, we're not doing it that way. I mean, this is ridiculous.
We'll get a process. That's what I'm saying. We'll get a process.
And this is a process in the working stages that we should think about. But one of the things I was thinking about is wondering whether we might not be able to have a binder at the library that's kept here, that as mailings do come in, if you check the mail once a week, that those postings get put into the library binder so that all council members, it's our own responsibility to check it. Since we don't have an office or a place to get mail, it would be nice to have it somewhere available for people who are interested, and somewhere that doesn't require a lot of funding or effort.
I'm sorry, I just mean in your office on
the sheriff's office, that's where we get them, but they don't have a key.